Welcome, everyone. It's lovely to have you all here this morning. Just sitting there thinking again how privileged and how lucky we are on a whole range of levels, really, to be able to be gathering together as God's people this morning, not only because of COVID and things that are happening there, but just so many places around the world where God's people aren't free to come and meet openly. So we're just glad that you're all here with us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being your children, for the privilege of being your people and your church. And Lord God, I pray that we would not take that for granted ever, that we would be mindful of it and thankful for it each and every day, that we have been called with a purpose, that we have been redeemed, purchased by the blood of Christ. And it is for a purpose, not just for our own good sake, but so that we can be your people, to be your ambassadors, to be your hands and your feet and your love in this world. So, Father, I just pray that as we come and as we spend time together this morning, as we fellowship, as we worship, as we feed on your word, that your Holy Spirit would just be at work in us, that we would meet with you, be changed and transformed by your power at work in us, that we might be ready and equipped and encouraged to do all that you have called us to do and to be who you've called us to be, your people. So take this time, Father, and use it for your purposes, I pray. Amen. So again, just welcome. I'm going to invite you to stay seated as we sing this first song, a song just of reminding ourselves and being able to say out loud the goodness of this God that we serve. Ascribe greatness to our God. So please just stay seated as we sing. Again, we're trying to be mindful of not being too up close and personal with one another and breathing on each other and sharing any hopefully not germs that we have, but we can still come with that attitude of thankfulness and worship as we sing these words about our God, the Rock. very true words. And we're going to hear now from the words of Psalms. Let's see.
Psalm 66. All together now, applause for God. Sing songs to the tune of his glory. Set glory to the rhythms of his praise. Say of God, we've never seen anything like him. When your enemies see you in action, they slink off like scalded dogs. The whole earth falls to its knees. It worships you, sings to you, can't stop enjoying your name and fame. Take a good look at God's wonders. They'll take your breath away. He converted sea to dry land. Travellers crossed the river on foot. Now, isn't that cause for a song? Ever sovereign in his high tower, he keeps his eye on the godless nations. Rebels don't dare raise a finger against him. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? He trained us first, passed us like silver through refining fires, brought us into hard scrabble country, pushed us to our very limit, road tested us inside and out, took us to hell and back. Finally, he brought us to this well-watered place. I'm bringing my prizes and presents to your house. I'm doing what I said I'd do, what I solemnly swore I'd do that day when I was in so much trouble. The choicest cuts of meat for sacrificial meal, even the fragrance of roasted lamb is like a meal. Or make it an ox garnished with goat meat. All believers, come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. If I had been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. But he most surely did listen. And he came on the double when he heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me, loyal in his love.
Now let us pray. We thank you, God. You are the great creator. You created the heavens and the earth. You love your creation and you haven't forgotten us. Your plan all along was for us to be in relationship with you, and you redeemed your creation through Jesus. So we give you the highest praise because you deserve it all. We love you and we thank you that you have not forgotten us. You hear our prayers and you love your creation. You give us grace, mercy, and we are now your friends and your family. And we love you. Thank you for who you are and how you love us. Amen. While I'm here, I'll just give a quick update. Our friend Van from Vietnam, who visited us 3 years ago, he and his wife, Tien, had a baby girl this week. So we are really happy for them. Tien, if you remember Van walks very funny because he's partially disabled, and his wife Tien has one of her arms is partially disabled. And so in the end she had to have a C-section, which was not planned, but they thought that was best, so she will struggle a little bit. But in Vietnam, your family comes and helps you, so for the first few weeks her mother will be with them, and then after that she will travel back to her hometown for the next few months so that her family can help look after her, and Van will stay at the English school in Ho Chi Minh City. So it's really fantastic to see how Van has flourished and his wife Tien through their time at the Company of Grace, and that we have supported them through that, and it's great to see this outcome for them, to give them an opportunity to have an independent life and to have children and be married. And for many of these things were not really on their radar before they came to the Company of Grace, because it was very difficult for them to achieve these things. And they've named their daughter VN, which is a combination of Van and Tien.
Well, I understand after last week that David Batten's going to take over my job. That he's going to become the new pastor, because it seemed to me, from what I heard, that when he said something, people responded. So I think it'd be good if Sunday mornings we'll have Dave up here, and that'll be fine. You've noticed that he's put some tapes on seats. That's just a happy verse, but it's also, just a reminder that we do need to keep distance, and we're being reminded in a variety of ways that sometimes people, I don't know that they're plants, but actually, you know, people are coming and sitting in on churches and just spying to make sure that we're actually doing the correct thing. So please do the correct thing. It's a pain, I know, not being able to give a hug, not being able to get closer, but we're still open. And for that, we are very, very grateful. please take notice of focus. Now, most of you are receiving that electronically, which is great, so you don't need to take a back copy. But if you do need to take a copy from today, there are some there. But just a reminder, we have got a few in our prayers who are not well. Betty was telling me before that Jill, her daughter, has now moved out of emergency or ICU, her son-in-law isn't. Norm is still in ICU. I had a phone call this morning from Joy. She said she wasn't feeling too good and so isn't here. Now, we all know that at 92, she's normally here, whatever. And so we just keep her in our prayers. How's your sister going, Rose? Mm-hmm. Right, good. Righto, great. So he's surviving, is he? On your cooking? No. Right. You will also have received the sheet for the persecuted Christians. Please take that and use it for your prayer. And on the back of focus is a reminder, Westcare are really sort of under pressure. And talking with Brian this week, he takes the groceries from the little trolley in each week. Their great need seems to be packet milk and cereal. So they're saying that packet milk and cereal are the two things that they are desperately needing. So if you're able to help in that way, that would be terrific. So other bits and pieces are there. A Miracle Connect, some of you are very interested in. There's a notice there about September being a month of prayer. Lots of things there. Please keep up to date.
In case you're wondering, going, I don't receive anything electronically, you can go to our website, which is just lcc.org.au, and you'll see there's a spot you can hit and download the focus from there, as well as that's where you can listen to the services that have been recorded. If for some reason, some week you're not here, or you have friends who would like to be able to listen in, it's all on the website. That's where that's available. So we want to pray too for those who are not feeling well. I think also Alice was not well. And particularly, Matt, you've asked us if we can pray as a church. I think it's always great when we kind of share the things that are happening in our lives and just acknowledge that we do need God to be at work. And you've reapplied to join the police force. I get that right. And so we'd just like us as his church family to just stand with him and just pray for wisdom, if that's the right thing, the right move, God's plan for you, just that you'd have favour in that. Is there a timeline for this process?
So basically, I've handed my application in, and I've been informed that if I haven't heard in a month, I give them a call, but the lady said anywhere from 1 to 12 months, the whole process. So it's a long waiting game, but again, it's in God's hand. There's nothing I can do. I've done what I can do. So, yeah.
So it gives us lots of time to pray. That's good. So we can pray for 12 months if need be. So if you join with me, and we'll pray for Matt as well as just remembering those who are not well at this time, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, thank you that our daily lives are in your hands, and that your eye is on us, that your ear is attentive to us, and that your heart is towards us. And Lord God, I just thank you for the way Matt has put his trust in you and does look to you to see what you would have him do with his life. And we just want to stand with him at this time and pray that your hand would be on this process. And Father, if it is what you would have for Matt, and it would be the best thing for him and for his family and going forward and where you want to use him, Lord, we pray that you would give him favour in this process, that you'd give him wisdom in what he needs to do or not do in that, that he would be prepared as this process progresses. So we commit him and Alice and their family to you. We pray for Alice this morning, who's not feeling well, that your hand would be on her, that you'd grant these guys just strength and energy as they parent their little boys and raise them, that you would be with them. And thank you, Lord God, for his willingness to just come and bring these things before you, and that we can stand with them in that. Lord God, we thank you too for answered prayer for Carlene, who's been praying for her sister, and that she's better now and that she'll be able to go and visit her. Thank you again that her first response so often is just to come and ask, would you pray for me, or would you pray for my friend? And Lord God, we just pray that we would honour that desire in Carlene, and thank you, Lord God, that you love that in her too, and that you hear her prayers and answer her prayers. We think of Joy and Betty's family, Jill and Norman, and I'm sure there are others. Lord, there's lots of things I can think of that are happening in our community, and people that we want to pray for, and just are thankful that your hand is on them, that your Holy Spirit is at work in them, both spiritually and physically. For those that need your healing touch, Father, that's what we ask for healing, for health and for strength. For those that need it emotionally and mentally, we ask the same, Father, that you would bring your healing touch into their lives. And that for each of us spiritually, as we look forward, Lord God, that we would be looking to you to be our strength, our spiritual health and wholeness in all that we do. So thank you again, Lord God, that we can come as your children and bring these things before your throne of grace. Amen. We're going to sing another song together, again, a song of worship, just singing Hosanna to the King, who is our King. And again, I'll invite you to stay seated as we sing this song. And let's just give our hearts and our thoughts and our words in this time to worship our King. Colin.
If any children who want to come down the front, please come down the front. No one. No one wants to come. Oh. Oh, yes. Right. Well, we've got a lease. That's good. Hello. Right. Hello, Lisa. And hello, Amber. Mm-hmm. Righto. Yeah. Good. Now, I think you all know the story of the three pigs. Right. Yes. Do you know the story of the three pigs, Elise?
Yes.
Yes? Right. Do you know the story of the three pigs, Amber? Can you tell me a little bit about what happened in the story of the three pigs? What happened? The wolf. Yes, the wolf came. Yes, the wolf came. What happened before the wolf came, Lisa?
They each built
houses
out of different materials.
They each built houses out of different things. Right. So, one built his house out of straw, which wasn't very strong. One then thought he would build his house out of sticks, but that wasn't very strong either. And then one very cleverly thought he will build his house out of bricks, which was a much better idea. So, Elise, what happened when the wolf came with the house made of straw? Do you know what he did? He blew it down. That's right. He blew it down. That's exactly right. What happened with the sticks? Hit him on the head. No, not quite. What happened with the sticks, Lisa?
The same thing happened.
The same thing happened. Exactly right. And then, but with the bricks, he couldn't blow down the bricks, could he? No, couldn't blow down the bricks. So that was very strong. Now, that's what we call a fairy story, or a story that's good fun to read with mum and dad. It's not a true story, it's just a fun story. But in the Bible, there's a true story about some people who lived in a big... Can you see? There's a big wall going around there. Can you see that? A big wall? And they all lived in there and around here. But there was a big wall that they wanted to protect their village, Jerusalem. They wanted that protected. But some people came, and what they did was, boom! They pushed over the wall that was big. And the people were very sad. And so they said, we need to rebuild this. Now, this is how they rebuilt it. With rocks like that. They didn't have bricks like this. They rebuilt it with rocks like that. Yes, lots of rocks. And everyone got in and helped. So they put up a big wall. It was enormous all around. And that protected them, so they could live inside and they were protected. So that's a true story. It's a story from the Bible. This, the three pigs, is a bit of a fun story. Now, we don't need to build a house of straw. I don't think you've got a house of straw. I don't think you've got a house of sticks. Have you got a big fence in front of your house, Lisa? You have got a big fence? You've got a big fence in front of your house, Elise?
No.
No, you haven't. Right, have you got a big fence in front of your house, Amber? No? Right, so one big fence and two little fences. All right. We don't need a fence to be reminded that God loves us, because God loves us in a very special way. Now, what are you going to do today? Well, I've made some of these circles here, like this, And I want you, in a minute when you go up to the back table, to make a hat like this that says, God loves me. And I've got some stickers, and you can put those stickers on. I think probably 10 each will be enough. All right, so up to 10 stickers and your name on there, and you can colour that in and make a hat you can stick on. I've got some sticky tape or some staples, and you can make yourself a hat. And that just reminds you that God looks after you. But I've got something else. You can see that here I've put two little what are they? Eyes, yes, two little eyes, which is a reminder that God's looking after us, all right? So there are eyes here, but there's also one of these cards that says God loves, and in that space you choose which colour you want, and you write your own name, or get mum or dad or someone to help you write your name, and then you can put some more stickers or some drawing around there. All right? So, a hat, eyes on it to be reminded that God's watching and he loves you and looks after you, and one of these, and that's on a piece of card, so you could put that in a special spot when you go home, maybe in your bedroom or on the door, to remind you this week that God loves you, and you put your name there and he loves you especially. And so you're able to choose whatever colour you want. Now, I think that's all my stuff. Yes, very good. So is that enough for you to do, do you reckon? Yes, I did have something else that if you wanted to do this, Lisa, because I didn't know who would be here and I thought you might have, you can do that of course, but can you see what I've done there? I've got God loves Colin, and then I keep linking it up with God loves Colin. So if you wanted to do, pardon me, one of those with God loves Lisa, and you've got to keep linking it up. You understand what I mean? I think we've only got one of you. Well, there's only one of you, of course, but we haven't got Alexander or Johnny here today. All right, so if you want to take one of those, righto. So now, yep, up to the back table. Have you got two spare hands today? Elise, can you carry that in one hand and that in another hand for me, please, up to the back table?
Yeah.
You got it? Yeah, good girl. Thank you. Very good. Right. Right. Can you carry that, please, Amber? Can you carry that, please, Lisa? There you are, up to the back table. And if anyone's helping at the back table, in that little glass thing where the eyes are, there's also some extra staples. Staples have a way of running out, but there's just that one roll of sticky tape. It also runs out pretty frequently with children. Yeah. G'day, Josh.
Okay, thanks, Colin. So while we let the kids get on with that thing, and just a few other things that I thought of in our notices, if people are wondering what's happening with offering these days. Again, on the focus, there'll be a note if you want to give your offering electronically, or if folks do have things they want to drop, there's a box at the back on your way out that you can just drop your offering in there. Or also, if you were wanting to put money for coffees, you can just pop that in the offering box. And after church, there is morning tea. But I'll just, again, remind folks. So if you want coffees, you go out to the foyer that way for coffee. If you want tea, you can go into the hall, and the server on that side is serving tea that way. And that's how we're helping to keep people a bit separated and get those earlier rather than later, so that we can have our drinks and chat that way before we go on out. So before Colin comes and gives us his share of what we have to listen to him this week and do this week, we're going to sing one last song together. Again, ancient words, a reminder of the treasure that we have in God's written word for us. So again, let's stay seated as we sing together. Cheers.
It might be good if we all stand up for a minute, just where you are. It's a long time sitting down, isn't it? But there is a purpose in standing up. I'd like to pray, because we've just sung, "Oh, let the ancient words impart." We have come with open hearts, and I guess some of us think, oh, Nehemiah, you know, 450 years before Jesus, and then we had another 2,000 years on for Jesus. 2,500 years ago, what use are these words? Well, let's see today if our hearts are open and the ancient words can impart to us truth. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we come with open hearts, with open minds to your word this morning. We come, Father, seeking to learn from these words, which were story of long ago, but a story of your great blessing and faithfulness to your people. So may you challenge us, guide us, and help us to respond to what you're saying to us this morning. We stand, Father, because we can stand in the presence of the living God through Jesus. But we stand as well because we want you to tell us and to send us with lives that are changed. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Now, over the last, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah. Some of you have been faithfully taking those little green sheets and following through. If you wanted a green sheet and there's not one in front of you, we'll perhaps jump up and pinch one from someone who hasn't, but there's a couple down at the front if you're needing them. And if you're just visiting today and you're thinking, oh, I wonder what they've looked at, well, please, on the back table, there are weeks one and two, and then last week we needed some extras, so we've printed those on white paper. So one, two and three, and today we're at week four. Week four. Now, I looked at the Bible reading, chapter 3, and those of you who have brought your Bibles with you would realise that the names there are just incredible. So I thought, let's not read all of those names. We're going to look at some of them as we go through. But let's look at the faithfulness of God in Psalm 66, first of all. But those of you who've got a sheet, Nehemiah, we're all in this together. And the fact that we're all in this together is a reminder that they're now about to build the wall. It's amazing. But two things have come up. People ask me questions after the service, and which is fine. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago about why was it so important to build the wall? Well, what had happened was that they'd been taken into exile and the wall had been demolished and the gates had been burnt. And it was a disgrace to God. The people of God had meant to be a witness to the world. And here was the centre of worship, absolutely devastated. It looked like no one cared about God or the city. Friends, maybe we haven't always been all that faithful to God. And maybe people looking on could say the same. Is the church really the witness it should be? The other thing is a reminder, and a few weeks ago we had the waters of Babylon. The people had been taken off into exile, yes, and we think, into exile because they had not been faithful to God. And that was the punishment. God was serious. Off you go, into exile. Now, we say, well, that was then. No, I think it's today, because I think what we do is we put ourselves into exile. You see, God had not changed. God's love hadn't changed. God was still loving his people and wanted his people to return, but they had been taken off into exile through disobedience. Through disobedience, we actually take ourselves away from God. And there is a sense in which we put ourselves in exile. God hasn't changed. God still loves us. But it's as if we step out of the gamut of experiencing that love of God. So we need to be careful. So these things are not old. They are new and modern and today. So on the front, we've got the quote from chapter 3, verse 1. The high priests rising up to help in the building. Just a quick revision. Well, that's on the front cover, and reminding ourselves that we're not only building, but we're building our life. And the theme of Nehemiah is God is with us. The major problem, Jerusalem's walls burnt Nehemiah's prayer. We've covered that, but I'm just reminding you, and it's lovely to be told about how Carlene, first thing is prayer. When there's a problem, prayer is a good way to go. The king leads the conversation. I've put that down because you might remember I said if Nehemiah went into the presence of the king as the cupbearer unhappy, he could be killed. And if he asked a question of the king, he could be killed. So it was a very delicate job that he had. Isn't it interesting? In answer to Nehemiah's prayer, what happens? The king asks the question. How amazing. In our life, how amazing when we pray that sometimes things turn around in a most unexpected way. And that's what's happened here. So he asked with a little one step, which was, well, if I'm going to go back to Jerusalem, I first of all need to speak to the king. I need to get his permission. I can't just nick off. And so, isn't that a wonderful way of praying? Just step by step. Those of you who are footy followers, the other night Geelong playing the Bulldogs, and Geelong were a long way behind. And at the end of the game, the captain was asked, what did the coach say? And he said, well, we're 6 goals behind, but let's go 2 goals, 2 goals, 2 goals. And if we go 2 goals each quarter, we'll be in the lead. I think that's the same with prayer. Let's not think of winning the world, but let's think of, actually, what about someone in my family? And let me pray for them. Let's take a bite-sized piece that is realistic rather than the whole world that is so general, we're probably not going to do anything. So that's what he did. Now, in chapter 3, there are lots of names, lots of names. And so what I decided to do is to go with the vowels. A-E-I-O-U, except I'm doing them in a different order, of course. So we're going O-A-I-E-U. Righto. So let's have a look at this. First of all, Nehemiah was an incredibly organised person. An organised person, he evaluated the situation, the implications, he planned, he acted, and he responded to the king and planned his journey. He knew, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, he knew exactly what he needed to do. I want to say, friends, that God is a God of order. You know, he didn't just, oh, well, now this is the day of creation, so let's have the animals and let's have a few stars and plonk in a few people. No, God did it in an order. It's also interesting that not only that, but with the Holy Spirit's coming, there was a great way that the people were all there from around the world for the Passover. It wasn't just higgledy-piggledy. And I'm interested that in the church there in Corinth, when there was so much upset. The prophets couldn't just stand up and say, God said this and God said that and God said the other. No. People who prophesied were under the authority of the church. There was an order. So the people coming in didn't think everyone in the church had gone mad. So we need to respect that sort of situation. And I want to say, the administration of the church is so important. If the administration goes berserk, the church is in chaos. But when the administration, thank you, Vicky, but when the administration of the church goes well, the church operates. So let me say to you people who are supposed to have done your child protection, please do it. Because we don't need to be making 6 phone calls to get people to do it, please. But those of you who are in work situations, you know, when the admin works, the situation works. Now, here we've got the working. Now, some of you are going to say, we can't even see it. Yes, that's all right. But you've got a map from last week, you've got a map from this week, and all I want to say is that Nehemiah had worked out how they needed to rebuild and who he was going to allocate. And so he starts at the sheep gate, which is right up at the top, and he goes around in an anti-clockwise direction, rebuilding the wall and the gates that were burnt. Order? Yes, he knew exactly how things were happening. And you can see on your little bit of paper there, the different gates, and obviously if you're dealing with heaps of people, you need to have gates that allow for the sheep to come in. You need to have a gate for the water. You need to have a gate to get rid of the manure if you've got heaps of animals. How interesting that he works like this in an anti-clockwise direction, but he has all of the gates and all of the wall worked out. The gates, of course, were big wooden gates that were open during the day to let traders and people come in and people to go out. And at night they were shut to stop, as it were, any invasion or any trouble. So, organisation. That was Nehemiah. And I think that it's important for us as Christians, not only in the church, but in our lives. If we're going to build our life on the foundation of Jesus, we need to have an organisation in some ways. Now, I'm a most untidy person. You only need to try and stick your head in my office to see. But I'm also, I think, an organised person. So we all do things differently. But somehow we need to have an organising aspect to our life and certainly to our church. Now, the second thing is not only was he organised, but he allocated situations. And this is amazing. Every person was in his or her place. Now, that's incredible, I think. And if you look through, I think it's 28 times, if you count through, depending on what translation you've got. Next to him, next to her, after her. People just were allocated and somehow worked together, which is wonderful. And people were put opposite their residence, which is interesting. See, not everyone, they didn't live in the city. People lived outside, so people were building the wall and allocated by their residence or opposite their residence, which, of course, would do certain things. If you're building the wall opposite your place, you're going to do a good job. If you're building it there, well, you don't have to waste time travelling. You can get there, walk out the front door perhaps, and in case of attack, you're right there. The travellers who came through from different cities who didn't actually live in the area. They had a job, but they were given a job where there were very few houses, so they obviously didn't have a house that they lived opposite. And then people were given jobs near gates particularly, where they had a special interest. You see, the high priest, that's interesting. What's he going to be interested in? Well, he's going to be interested in the sacrifice of the animals. So isn't it logical to put him and his gang near the sheep gate? Because that's where the sheep are coming in, and that's going to be an interest for him. So I've got there, in the church, friends, we need to use people who are gifted in their own way. So if you're gifted with something or have an interest with something, great, let's use that. Like, God doesn't say, oh, because you're interested in singing, right, we'll put you on cups of tea. Like, God's given us talents and abilities to use them for his glory. So if you're gifted or you feel you're gifted in a certain way, that's fine. One of the dangers we've had in church life, on our notice board, we've had all welcome. And that's true, everyone is welcome. But the Bible says, be discerning about people who do things in the church. Because we want people, the church is for believers in that sense. Now, at one stage, everyone was welcome, so we need someone to teach Sunday school. So sometimes we would have people who maybe didn't even believe the things that the church believed, helping out teaching in the Sunday school. Now, is that good or bad? We need to be careful. We need to be careful. And I don't think we find in the Bible volunteers. Well, we do, but Jesus said, go home and have another think about it. I think what the church needs to do is to discern the giftedness amongst people and say, I think this person is gifted in this area, and let's ask them if they think the same. We just need to be careful, friends, because if we have people doing things in church life who don't believe what the church believes, very soon we find ourselves in big trouble. So Nehemiah was very careful in allocating people, travellers, interests, all around. And let's realise that what God wants is for us to be joyful in our service. He doesn't want us to have jobs that make us miserable in serving in the church. Now, everyone was involved. Let us arise and build. You go home and have a read through chapter 3. It'll only take you 5 minutes. But look, we had the priests, the goldsmiths, the perfumers. Can you imagine people who dealt with perfume, incense for the temple, people who did beautiful little gold work, suddenly pushing bricks to build a wall? Amazing. But it seems like they all got in. Daughters were involved. Sons were involved. Those people who were rulers had their kids involved. Wonderful. Wonderful. The temple servants. And there in verse 1, the high priest. The high priest who only once a year could go into the sacred place. He's there at the sheep gate building. How wonderful. Friends, everyone was involved in this mammoth task. No one was excluded. Everyone was involved. So I've got there a full range of ages, a full range of gender, interests, abilities, even officials who maybe were supervisors, I'm not sure, or middle management. But there was one group. There was one group who said, we're not going to be involved. Now, why weren't they going to be involved? It says they're nobles, so maybe they were leaders. Sometimes you find people in churches who give the impression that they were born to be waited on, like the rest of the church should look after them. Or they're very special, you know. Grandma donated the first box of matches to light the gas stove in the kitchen or something. So I'm very important. And why? Why wouldn't they be involved? And it's very sad when there's a group of people who say, I won't be involved in that. We don't know their reasons. But at the same time, they obviously had a responsibility. They were nobles, they were leaders, they were looked up to, and they say, no, we're not going to be involved in that. What does that do? Well, maybe they were just uncooperative people. Maybe at the same time, they were people who said yes and then did no, and we know those people in churches. Maybe they were underminers, tall poppies, all that sort of stuff. The whole of 1 Corinthians involves people who cause trouble and upset and sadness in the church. Now, I know there are times for things like that. But when we're trying to work together, let's jump in if we can. Now, is everyone practical? Well, obviously not, but yes. I mean, not everyone has skills to build walls, but somehow there was a job for everyone. So, amazing. So where do you put yourself? You a practical person? The interesting thing is, of course, that when we have a practical situation and we say, right, there's a working bee, oh, not a lot of people turn up sometimes. The other thing is that, you know, when you say, oh, would you speak? Oh, I couldn't say anything in church. No, I'm a practical person. Well, when we actually have a working bee, turn up. I think I've mentioned before Mrs. Simmons at Ballarat, when we went there many years ago. The pastor's wife, she blew a whistle at 9 o'clock. And that's when the working bee started. She blew a whistle at 11 o'clock. And that's when the working bee finished. The working bee was supported like you wouldn't believe, because everyone knew they were only committed for 2 hours. And they never felt guilty about leaving at 11. Mrs. Simmons made sure you left at 11. but yes, so here was a working bee. We don't know how long it went on for, but there's nothing wrong with working as well as praying. We see that with Paul. How amazing. When we were in Melbourne, we lived near, well, not far from, Mount Evelyn Christian School. And they had a rule that when you enrolled your child at Mount Evelyn Christian School, you committed yourself to 2 days a year at a working bee. And if you didn't turn up for the working bee, you were charged a day's wages. But that's what you signed up to when you committed your kid to go to that school. I think when you were docked the first day's wages, or you had to hand over a day's wages because you didn't turn up, I think you were there the next time. But that's interesting. This was a Christian school, and that was their rule. Encouragement. If you read through, you'll find that there are a number of people mentioned by name, some 75 people mentioned by name. How incredible. How incredible. Nehemiah seemed to know the people and where they worked, what they were doing. Now, if we're not encouraged, and we're asked as people of God to encourage each other, if we're not encouraged, it's easy to become critical or self-centred. You know, no one wants me, I'm not appreciated. We do need to encourage each other. I was interested to hear that the American company Bell and Howell, and some of you might have a Bell and Howell projector hidden away or a camera, but Bell and Howell was a company that started just on 100 years ago by a man called Donald Bell and Albert Howell. it built up enormously in America to some 12,000 employees. It was a very wealthy company. But every year, those two men, Bell and Howe, visited every factory where they had workers. They spoke to every worker and thanked them for the job that they were doing, and they knew what every worker was doing. Now, how encouraging that would be if you were just a factory worker, but the manager or the owner of the company came to you and thanked you for putting the bolt in the projector or whatever you did and said, thank you, we couldn't do it without you. Seems to me that Nehemiah was a great encourager of people. How amazing. So the encouragement or the challenge for us is to encourage one another and build each other up just as we are doing. Lovely that Paul can write that. And then the last thing in the vows that go all backwards. It was a common project, and doing things together stops selfishness and brings an appreciation. We can't all do the same thing. And I guess those people who did the bolts for the doors and those who did the woodwork were different. They had special skills, and that was wonderful. So they repaired. We need to be careful. We need to be careful, because if we don't work together or we ignore each other, it undermines the situation. So let's work together. Repair means to make firm or strong, not to destroy, not to ignore, but to mend, working alongside. Nehemiah couldn't do it by himself. And friends, none of us can do it by ourselves. What does Jesus say? I will build the church. And he builds the church with our help, as it were. So we need to be part of the building of the church, the building of the lives. It's interesting, no one mentions a stonemason in this building. No one mentions a special skill, but the sacrifice of time and comfort by all. I wonder why chapter 3 starts with the high priest. And if you read, it says, the high priest rose up with his brethren and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it. They consecrated it. To me, that says this is an act of worship. And I think the whole building of the wall was an act of worship. And my question is, as I'm always jumping up and down and saying, an act of worship is 24/7. That's over our door as we go out. Standing up here, friends, and singing a few songs on a Sunday morning and then praying and then reading, that's an hour and a half. Is that the only worship for the week? No. Is music the only worship? No. Is praying? No, nothing. The whole of our life is worship. So what we do tomorrow, how we treat the family, the Savo, all of it is worship. We are people of worship. We give to God his worth. And they did it by building a wall. What a strange thing. We would tend to think, manual labour? Is that really an act of worship? Well, they do sing a bit later and they do pray. But how interesting that building a wall is an act of worship. Friends, whatever you do this week is an act of worship to God. You, by the way you work, by the way you speak to people, by the way you spend your spare time, that is worship. That is giving to God his worth. So, does this book teach us anything? Well, I think it teaches us a lot about what really worship is and working together in a common purpose. Let's pray. Gracious God, we sometimes have thought that worship was only certain things that we do here on a Sunday, or it was only music, or, yep, We get confused. So thank you that Nehemiah says, all that we do is for your glory and is an act of worship, even building a wall. So may this week we not only work together in cooperation and love, but may all that we do be done with the awareness that God is watching us, that God is loving us, and that our restoration in our fellowship, in all that we do, is an act of worship to the living God. Guide us, we pray, but we too, like the high priest, may we consecrate our week to you as we give it through Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. And I think we'll brave standing together as we sing our last song, which is about all the things that we can do by faith, the things that the people of God have done by faith over the many, many years, and who we are called to be, the children of the promise. So stand together as we sing our last song. Thank you.
The fathers roamed the earth with the power of his promise in their hearts. Of the holy city built by God's own hand, a place where peace and justice reign. Prophets are ordained when the long for Messiah would appear, with the power to break the chains of sin and death and rise triumphant from the grave. By faith the church was called to go in the power Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news in every corner of the earth. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on him, our souls reward till the shall be moved, and the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible for all who call upon his name. Till the race is finished and the work is done.
Amen. Lord Jesus, be with us as we go out this week, walking with eyes of faith that would see the things that you have in store for us to be all that you would have us to be, for your praise and for your glory. Amen.